I'm Amanda, and this is Not Your Granny's Quilt Show. Hello there, and welcome to today's episode. I have Karen, and she is the creative brain behind Bessie Pearl Binding Company. She comes from the world of business and retail, and so she really understands what it means to have a business and to interface with customers. Karen came up with the idea to create ready-made binding for customers because a lot of people have communicated to her that that's like their least favorite part, or it's the part that hangs them up in completing a project. So she makes binding. It's fantastic. She's got all the basics. She's got prints and florals and really fun options. So I just loved chatting with her and getting to know her as a person and as a business owner and talking all things, you know, quilting business. And she's just great. So I hope you run. She's going to Paducah. So go check her booth out and check out her binding. She uses only the highest quality fabrics that we all quilt with and love. So you can trust the quality of her binding. I have some, I've used it and I love it. So I'm here to fully advocate for it. I'm not sponsored, but just want you to know you can trust me. You can trust my opinion. Anyway, let's get into the conversation with Karen. Oh my gosh, how are you, Karen? It's so nice to see you again.
I know, right? We just saw each other. I know. But I'm good. I'm loving, like, spring has come to North Carolina. And so it's good. I'm happy about that. I'm like sewing with my windows open and just really enjoying it. So,
oh my gosh. Beautiful. That's nice. It's coming here soon. I can feel it. Like the weather's kind of getting warmer. You're in Raleigh, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So during QuiltCon, it was just like the weather was so nice. And mm-hmm. I mean, compared to back here in Idaho, like we were still in the throes of winter. And so it was nice to experience that kind of like pre-spring. And then we went down into South Carolina to see my brother, like right after QuiltCon. And same thing. It was like Charlotte was gorgeous.
Oh, I'm so glad you got to visit your family and stuff while you guys were out here. That's awesome.
It was really good. But anyway, gosh, that was like a huge tangent, but it was like exciting to meet so many people and find so many people. And like my mom and I walked past your booth like 25 times and we're just like, that's binding. Like that's pre-made binding because we make
madness.
Quilts. Yeah. So it was really fun to see your stuff and like get to talk to you and meet you. And but before we talk about all your fun binding, I want to know how you got into quilting and like the sewing world, I guess, because it's always my favorite part.
Always your favorite part. Okay. I mean, I don't feel like my story is anything like dramatically exciting more than other people's, but cheers. Yay. So, well, my mom is a quilter. Mm. So, and her mom was a sewist. So her mom was Bessie and Pearl was my other grandmother. So that's where that comes from. So my mom and her sisters, most of them all know how to sew, but my mom is a very traditional quilter. Mm-hmm. We have like super different styles, but so I just kind of grew up like, I guess she taught me when I was a kid. I have some pictures of me sewing. I remember making like a baby quilt for it. So I knew how to do like basic sewing things. And, but I lost interest as a child and kind of came back to it as an adult later on. I got married. I've always liked sewing like functional things mm-hmm. That I can use. And so, but eventually I decided I wanted to try and make another quilt and my mom said she would help me. And so it was before I had kids. So it was probably my 20s and I just like loved it. I just was like, this is the best. It was so fun. And I love that we got to do it together. It was really like, we needed a way to connect at that point in my life. And so it was good for our relationship and it has continued to be something that we share. And so I love it now for that reason. And I think I will always love it for that reason, you know, through my life. And so it will always be something that reminds me of her and my family. And, so that, but I love like the whole textile, world, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. design and visual arts and all that kind of stuff. It's always been really interesting to me. So that's kind of how I started back into quilting. Mm-hmm. And then my like pre-kid life, I worked in retail for a long time And so learned a lot about, like, I have a business degree and learned a lot about small business because I worked for like a small retail company and did a lot of like visual design with them in terms of like setting up the store. So learning like, how do you market something so it sells visually? Yeah. And that was always really interesting to me. So then to kind of marry all that together into eventually running my own business has been fun. And I feel like when you get to work with fabric, I mean, and quilters were all so visual and tactile. So like, how do you, figuring out like, how do I market to someone even just on the internet in a way that they feel like they can touch it and understand how it feels and all that is really fascinating to me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I ended up where I am.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I like that concept of like thinking about, because I think people are like, oh, people will just want this thing. And so they post pictures, but they don't think about like, and I'm guilty of this. So I'm just like lumping myself in with other people, but you don't really think about the aspect of like, how do you get someone to feel like they can feel this picture? Like, how do you get someone to want to buy this thing by thinking about how it feels by looking at it? Like,
yeah,
it's a very unique like mindset to be in, to think about marketing and how to get somebody to want to buy something.
Yeah. Cause I always knew like I was never going to have a brick and mortar store. It was always just going to be online. And so that was something I, from the very beginning, kind of thought about was like, what do I want this to look like in a way that, you know, other people will kind of understand this brand. And so what do you do? Like, you know, how do you take photos so that translates the whole thing? I don't know. It's just always been really interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And so you like, what kind of retail was it? Was it like clothing? Was it like, I came from retail too. Like through college. So I'm like interested. I did like book and music stores, like coffee shops, like that kind of thing. So,
way in high school, I did like the Gap, and in college I worked for American Eagle. You know, I did all of those like normal regular jobs. But still did a lot of visual, like they have all the windows and stuff you have to do. But most of my experience actually came from working for a kid's shoe company, which I don't think is around anymore. They actually closed all their US locations while I was working for them. Oh. I think they have a Canadian store still, but it was called Ollie Shoes for Kids. And it was like an older style shoe store where you would come in and get your feet fitted for kids, or they call it like a sit and fit. So you would sit down and someone would help you find the shoes versus how we mostly shop now, which is like, you just go in to Target and pick up shoes off the shelf. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was a very like customer service driven in that regard.
Okay.
And, so I worked for them for several years and eventually was like a regional manager for some of their stores. And so traveled around, but just trying to figure out, the shoes that they carried were like a high-end shoe. So how do you display things in a way that creates value for the customer, or so that like kids can see them and parents can see them and will want to buy them? You know, like it was a whole, it just, I learned a lot about it there. I learned a lot about customer service. I learned a lot about managing employees and people. And cause I had a lot of like teenage college kids that worked for me, but I loved it. It was just the best. Yeah. It was a great experience. Even though I have no terrible feelings about kids' shoes. Like, they're fine.
Yeah.
I put shoes on them. I know way too much about kids' shoes and feet, but but I loved the business end of it a lot.
Yeah.
That was what was so interesting to me, and the people side of it. And so I felt like those things were all very helpful into starting my own business.
Yeah, for sure. I think it being on the employee side really helps you understand like what your customers want. I think like when you've never experienced that, and to me it seems like it might be tricky to put yourself in their shoes to like understand how to interface with them and how to provide the best product or the best visual like setup for what customers are going to want to see from you and how they want to interact with you. Like, okay, if someone talked to me like that, how would I like it? Or, you know, it's such an interesting thing. And like, we always tell our kids, like, you guys really need to work in the service industry, at least for a little bit, so you understand what this is like.
Yes. I feel like everyone should work in retail or like food service, because it gives you a lot of empathy then for the people who do that. And teaches you, I think, how to deal with other people that maybe aren't like always lovely to be around.
Yeah.
You know, sure. But that's life, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's good for everyone too. I agree.
Yeah. It's just, it just gives you a whole different perspective. And I appreciate it so much. Like, just having that experience, even though, yeah, like you said, people aren't always super nice, which it still is that way in the quilting world too, believe it or not. But
I know
it's like, but it still is like, okay, I need to step back from my emotions and I need to think about, okay, what are they asking or what are they looking for? What's their fear behind their frustration?
Yes.
And then how do I address that versus retaliating against their angry comments or their their grumpiness towards me at the moment? Like, it's not about me because I didn't do anything to them personally. Like,
right. No, it's so true. I used to tell my girls, like, they would have done that to anyone. You're just the person standing in front of them.
Yep.
So, like, just take it and take a breath and then, like, understand what their reality is. It may not be true, but understand that that's their reality and respond to that.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do, you know, kind of thing. But it also took me a while. And there were definitely days where I would, like, go in the stock room and cry.
So, yeah. Oh, for sure. It doesn't, like,
someone would yell at me.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't completely bounce off of you. You're still a human, but it's like,
right. You'd go back in the need a minute. But I do find that for the majority of the quilting world, it's like super kind and encouraging and lovely to work with. I mean, I, even when I make mistakes, cause I do make mistakes in orders and things with customers.
Yeah.
Almost all of the time, they're like very understanding and very gracious about the mistake. And I do whatever I can to make it right. You know, kind of thing. So haven't had nearly as many bad experiences. So, and honestly, I'm thankful since my name is Karen, I'm thankful I don't work in retail because I feel like I would have to change my name.
Oh, I know. It's like so sad that that's become like the moniker of the nasty customer. I'm like, oh.
When I like go somewhere and people are like, what's the name for the order? Like, I don't even want to tell them.
Just tell them Bessie.
That's right. I should use that name. Yeah.
Or Pearl. Either one. You can just disguise yourself. I know. It's. Yeah. It's sad. And Chad too. Like, that's the bro version.
I feel bad for all of us with the bad names now.
I'm like, I'm so sorry, but yeah, it's, and I'm guilty. I've called people Karens or I've been like, oh, I'm being such a Karen, but
it's okay. As long as I'm not around, I'm not offended. It's fine.
No, I know. But it's like, still, it's, I have thought about it and just been like, you know, that's not very fair because people are named that and it's not your choice and you're not like that, right? So
I didn't pick that name.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh,
but it's fine now. It's fine.
Yeah, so. I think it's kind of dying down a little.
I hope so. I moving on to something else, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll let it evolve. I don't know. But so did you already did you always have like the binding, the pre-made binding in mind when you started your business, or was that something that came from having a business for a while?
I totally kind of fell into it. So I worked in retail and then we had our daughter and I wanted to stay home with my kids. So I had already planned to like be done with working when she was born. And so I did that. I had a baby and very quickly I was like, this is madness. This being home with a child all day and not doing anything else. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I was very quickly losing it. And so I'd always wanted to have my own business, but I never knew what that would be. I just knew I wanted to work for myself. So, but one day I was on Etsy and I saw actually someone else who was doing something similar. She had an Etsy shop where she did different types of notions. And I thought, oh, I could do that. Like, cause I didn't want to make quilts. I didn't want to do like big things. Cause again, like I had this 5-month-old baby who was a lot. And, and we lived in a condo, so I didn't even have a sewing room anymore. And so I just knew like, okay, this isn't going to work. But I also knew, okay, this is small. It will take up not a lot of room in my house.
Yeah.
It would not be a lot of money to start. And I had pretty decent photography skills. So I knew I could do like photograph it well enough. I thought it would sell. Mm-hmm. And so I thought about it and, talked to my husband and I said, I think I want to do this. Like, I think I just want to give it a try. I need something to do. And he was like, sure. Like, let's just try it. And if in a year you break even, like we'll call it a win. And I was like, okay. So, so we did. So I started it up and, it took off pretty well. And so now my daughter's almost nine. So I've been doing this for like 8.5 years.
Wow.
off and on, and always like part-time because I had a son. So I would mm-hmm. take a break. Like when he was born, I took like 6 months or a year off. Or I would like close things down for a while if it just was like the summertime.
Yeah.
But now this year, both of my kids are in school full time. Mm. And so starting like in August, we go to school year round. So we have like a weird schedule, but okay. this whole year I've actually been able to like put brain energy into my business, I think. Cause most of the time, like, you know, you have kids, it's like, there's just only so much capacity in your head. And so I would always have ideas of things I could do, but I just knew I didn't have the capacity to do it. And so I feel like now I've finally been able to like go to QuiltCon and yeah. go to some other shows and, you know, put some energy into collaborations with different things. And so, so we'll see where it goes. I still don't know where the business is going to go, but it's still making money. So it's good. Yeah. And I'm enjoying it and I love it. And so, it for right now is working really well for us.
Yeah. That's amazing. I think it's fun when you like can niche in like that and find a thing that like you like to do, but also that other people are wanting. Cause it's like that magic spot, which every retailer looks for, every business, small business is looking for, like
right.
what's the need you're trying to fill.
Solve the problem. I yeah. know. And it does make me always feel really nice when I talk to customers and they say like, I just hate making this. Like, it's so helpful to just have your binding so I can finish this quilt. And I love that. I love that I get to be like a very small part in something that hopefully someone will really treasure yeah. and will be really loved by someone, or even just something that like someone's really proud to have made their first quilt. And I got to help them like make that really accessible to them. I love yeah. that. Like, I have no desire to make the finished product. I just want to help people do more of what they love. Yeah. And so that's what really brings me joy. And so if making quilt binding is a way to do that, then like, great. I love it. So
yeah,
I'm happy to do it. And, it gives me a chance to like play with fabric all day, which is fabulous, and like meet other creative people. And so I love all those things.
It's incredible. Just seeing all of it, I was like, what is happening? It's all so cute. And like, I have only made bias binding a couple of times because of the stripes.
Yeah.
And I hated every second of it. So when I saw that you had it already made, I was like, Michelle, she was like, I know we need all this.
Like, I need this in my life.
Yeah.
It is. And it's hard for a lot of people. And it's kind of like mind bendy to figure it out. You know, it just takes a lot of thought process. So if that makes it easier for someone, you know, like, I'm happy to do it. Yeah. And I think that is why it has done well, is because people just don't want to
yeah
deal with it or think about it, or, you know, it's just, it's convenient for them. And so I'm happy to be the one yeah. who supplies it.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So do you hand cut everything? Do you have a die cut? Do you have one of those like fancy knives that cuts through like 25 layers of fabric?
You know, I've thought about the fancy knives because there are days when I feel like that would be really helpful, but I don't. I did finally switch to like an ergonomic rotary cutter, which was smart after I like tore up my arm
yeah.
last year. So, but no, I cut it all with a rotary cutter, sew it together, iron it. Roll it. I do have someone this year. I hired someone to help me. So I don't do every single bit of it myself. But we just both handmade. Like, she's doing the same thing, just at her house kind wow. of thing. Cause it just got to be too much for me. So
yeah.
I don't have any, like, it's not like super fast, or I don't have any special tricks, I guess, just that I make it a lot and I make a lot at one time. So it's faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're practiced, it's like, I can make normal binding with my eyes yeah. closed, you know. It's not a hard task. It's just like doing it, you know?
Right.
It's like, oh, right, I have to make the binding. I literally right. have a like quilt.
The last thing you have to do, you're like done with all the cutting and all of the stuff. I know. Yeah. Nobody wants to go backwards. They feel like to finish it. So,
yeah. And I think knowing if you have your binding ahead of time, which a lot of times I don't, I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to get binding. But if I have it ahead of time, I'll try to make it ahead of time.
Yes.
And like my mom too, like if we have jobs coming up and we like, okay, we've got all the fabric and we have the binding, we'll just make it when we're cutting all the pieces for the quilt top. But yes. like, it's just one of those steps. Yeah. It's like, if it's already done, it's like, oh yes, thank God I could just finish this quilt. Like, it's so right. nice.
Like, I'm so proud of past me that I did this when I was thinking about yeah. it. Yeah. For me, is very happy with myself.
Exactly.
Yes. And that's what I tell people, like, cut it when you're cutting everything else and it won't be it won't feel quite so daunting. But I'm with you. I don't always think about it. I have a quilt downstairs that doesn't have binding on it that I'm just like, oh yeah, I should finish that.
Yeah.
I should get back to it, but I don't have time. So
yeah.
But that is a good trick, is to cut it early. Yeah. For sure.
Or just buy it from you. I mean, come on.
Or you could just buy it. That's true too. Then it'll be done, shipped to your house.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you choose, like, obviously besides the basics, like black and white stripes and solids and that kind of thing, but like, how do you decide what fabrics to choose for making the binding?
Yeah. I wish I could show you some of the stuff I originally bought. It was so bad.
Really?
I have learned a lot in 8 years of like what to buy, what not to buy. And I still buy things that bomb. So it's like not foolproof.
Sure.
But I look at scale. So most of the time. So if your binding is only a half an inch, I love like Art Gallery, right? Mm. I know you love Art Gallery. Mm-hmm. And they make those beautiful large scale florals. And I would be like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm going to buy that. And it just doesn't translate on binding. Like, you totally lose the proportion of it.
Yeah.
So I have learned small scale is good. And directionality matters. So if mm-hmm. a print is side from a stripe, if there, it's a very directional print, it may not, when you bias it, it may lose the look, and yeah. that would be bad.
Yeah.
So I stay away from a lot of directional things. And then I just buy what I like, really, is what it comes down to. So I trend towards like muted colors. And so if it's, especially like a two color print will work well with binding. Mm-hmm. Something that has a lot of colors is harder for people to match to their fabrics.
Yeah.
So if it's something that's like pink and white, that's easier to match to a quilt than something that's blue, pink, white, and yellow or something.
Yeah.
So I've learned some things like that, but, so yeah, that's the kind of stuff that has done well for me. Small scale florals, gingham, stripes.
Yeah.
And a few solids. People tend to like prints more than solids, so I carry more of those. But it's also sometimes just like trial and error.
Yeah.
So
yeah, just like with anything, right? It's like,
right.
You hope something.
Yeah, you know, like you buy merch for your store, and I'm sure like you love some of it, and then like some of it doesn't sell. You're like, what the heck? I love this.
Yeah. I'm like, just order it already. It's really cute.
This is so great. Why don't you yeah. want this? Yeah, yeah, I feel the same way. And so then I have to figure out, like, is it a marketing thing? Is it just not, like, is it just me that likes it? You know, I don't know.
Right.
People are always asking me for, like, brighter colors. And so I'm trying to, like, branch out of myself a little bit and get some color. Being at QuiltCon was actually so helpful for that because there's so much color.
Yeah.
And, like, I was next to the Moda booth, which was, like, neon colors, right? And all of their yeah. stuff. And so I'm trying, but I feel like I need someone to say to me, like, these are good bright colors. These are obnoxious bright colors. I don't know. Because right. I just don't live in a bright colored world.
Yeah.
So I need some color, what's the, like, a advisor person
oh, yeah.
to tell me, like, this is good, this is not good. I don't know. But I'm trying. I'd like to hopefully soon carry some of Moda's, like some of the Ruby Star colors.
Mm.
It's just a whole thing to get them. It's a thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Hopefully sometime later this year will happen. We'll see if Moda yeah. cooperates.
I feel like Starry would be a good binding because they have like all the new colors and they have the mini Starry. So like this, the stars are smaller print, which is nice.
Yeah. No, I think it will be good. I mean, and Ruby Star has a couple basics that would work yeah. well. It's just, I mean, I don't know if you buy from Moda, but.
Not yet.
It's a lot to buy from Moda.
Yeah.
So.
It is. It yeah. is. And that's, yeah. But it's exciting to think about being able to.
Yeah. I think it would be good. I think people would like it. So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's awesome. Maybe coming soon. I don't know.
I'll cross my fingers for you.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I always love a good, bright, crazy binding. And like you say, I love Art Gallery. I have like my two quilts behind me are Art Gallery. Like this Yay! One is, and that's the one in the chair behind me is Caterina Rochella, mm-hmm. Her Esoterra line, all the dinosaurs and jungle florals.
Yeah.
My favorite.
So and fun.
This one on the wall is Gloria.
Oh yeah.
Marine cracknel. And like the binding on this is like the orange flower.
You can't uh-huh.
And yes. I did cute. Scrappy binding on dinosaurs of all the different like florals. But
oh, that's so fun.
Yeah. But I'm one to grab like a bright, fun, bold, crazy binding, or, you know, big stripes or whatever. Like, so I can appreciate a solid, and I can appreciate that when people want a solid, but yeah, it's, I think picking the right binding is really, I mean, it's the finishing of your quilt. So like you want it to, like you want it to look nice, but it's like, you also want it to like speak to the personality of the quilt as well. So it's like,
yeah,
it's probably hard in that sense. I guess for me, I would think like, if I was in your shoes trying to choose prints and colors and things, I would be like, it would be hard to go break away from what I like and what I think people should do and think outside of myself in that sense of like, okay, not everybody's going to want neon on their right. quilts, or not everybody's going to want, yeah, the biggest, brightest florals, but like what's a happy medium for that? And like, mm-hmm. how do you show people that this is going to like really make their quilt pop, you know?
Yeah.
But I love your pictures on your website, because you really do. It's like, oh, I can see how, like, cause you have it pictured as like the half folded strip and then like fully folded. So it looks like the actual binding. And so you mm-hmm. can kind of see how it lays. And I was like, that is the smartest thing I've ever seen. This is like, you just see a fabric and you're like, I wonder how that would look as a binding. Well, you yeah. can see exactly how it looks as a binding on your website. And I was like, oh, she's a genius.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Well, that's always the goal, is like, so people can just look at it and envision it. Yeah. You know, if you ever think about like, if you're going to buy a house and you go in, like the realtor will always tell you like, stage it so that people can envision themselves living here. It will sell, you yeah. know? And so, that's always been kind of my goal, is because buying online is hard and mm-hmm. matching colors is hard. And so, you know, I try and make it as easy as possible for people.
Yeah. It's tricky. I think it's so smart to just have like all those basics. Cause I think that's people's mm-hmm. go-to as well. Like, oh, I don't know what to put on this, so I'm going to just do black and white stripes, or I don't know right. what to put on this, but so I'm going to just do solid black, or, yeah. you know, whatever. But I just loved seeing all the different kinds of bindings, and like being able to see them as binding, I think really, really helps the process, because yeah, it's like a fight to, you're like pulling fabrics and like folding them over and kind of laying them next to the yeah. fabric that's going to be in the quilt top. And like, is this going to look good? I don't know. But
yeah.
And then having, you know, known, like well-known lines of fabric or well-known fabric manufacturers, I think helps. Cause I think the times I've seen pre-made binding, it's been like obscure fabric that I'm like, I don't know if I can color match that, but I know like if I get something from art gallery, most likely the color palette is going to go like,
right.
Or yeah, if I'm matching
stuff is similar.
Yeah. Like Moda to Moda, most likely. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. there's instances where it's like not going to match, but most likely I'm going to be able to find another mode of fabric that's going to fit with that, even if it's not in the same line. And same with yeah. you know, Ruby Star. It's like, when you know that there's similar color palette coming out of that design house, then it's like
mm-hmm.
it's so
there's
much
a lot
easier.
More like confidence as a buyer than
yeah
to get it. No, I totally agree. And I personally started using like well-known designers just because that's what I like to work with.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to give my customers something that I wouldn't want to use. And I figure if you're putting all of these high quality fabrics in your quilt,
yeah.
Then your binding should be the same. I mean, I know anyone can go to Joann's or Walmart and buy pre-made binding. I mean, it is made
yeah.
and I know people who do, and that's fine. But I feel like there are definitely some quilters who they want a certain level of quality. And mm-hmm. that mattered to me. And so I felt like that's what I want to make sure I give to my customers. And so
yeah,
I've always only used, like the designer cottons for that reason. So, and yeah. I do, I think it helps people, to match and to know that like, okay, this is going to go with it. And then there are also people who like, just because it's easy to just buy, like you said, like black and white stripe and some of those neutral things. And I get that. And that is why that's the best selling binding I make, hands yeah. down. Like all day long, I could just make black and white stripe binding. And so I hired someone, she makes it all now.
Yes.
Cause I was like, I can't make any more of this.
Yeah.
Your eyes cross after a while, but,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it, and so that's fine too. You know, I think neutrals are good, and it's like one less decision people have to make, and they feel confident that it's going to match and it's going to look good on their quilt. And so that's fine. But yeah. I know some of us like things to be a specific look, you know, like you said, you did the dinosaurs. And so you want something that goes exactly with that. And so it is kind of a balance to try and make sure I have a little bit of both of those things in the shop for people.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's hard to like, it's just hard thinking about what other people want, especially when you're the one making the decisions of what's going out there to sell. Oh, yes. Like there's fabrics and things sitting in my Etsy shop that I was like, for sure people are going to buy it.
Yeah.
They're still like, just still sitting there. I'm like,
I know. And you're like, this, please. Come on. Don't like, you love this? I know. I'm in the process.
For you.
I'm in the process right now of trying to design a few of my own fabrics to release as bindings because there's certain looks that I want that I can't find out there, or I can find it, but like, it's not reorderable. So I can't carry it for very long.
Okay.
So that becomes kind of a problem, especially when I'm trying to like wholesale or buy ahead for things. I need to be able to get things for a long time. And like Art Gallery makes their fabrics forever.
Yeah.
But not all of the design houses do that.
Yeah.
So I'm working slowly on this project of like trying to design some things, but it's terrifying to think like, okay, I like this, but is anyone else going to like it? Like, you know, when Ruby Star releases a fabric collection, I know that people like it because you hear about it.
Yeah.
And people are talking about it. So, but to just like put something out there that no one's used before is like very terrifying. So, but I'm hoping to get that finalized hopefully next week, and we'll see.
Ooh.
Maybe it will be good. Maybe it will bomb. I have no idea.
No, that's exciting because I think, yeah, if you can't find what you're looking for or it's not accessible to you, then yeah, make it yourself if you can, if you can.
And in the world of like custom printed fabric, that's an option now. So that, I mean, that never used to be an option for any of us as non-fabric designers to go and get fabric printed, but now you can. And so, so it opens up a lot of possibilities, I feel like, for smaller businesses like mine.
Yeah. Have you done like, have you taken surface design classes or have you just like, are you self-taught or?
By me, I mean, I'm hiring someone to create the design.
Okay.
I am not. I mean, I thought about it for a minute and I was like, I don't have time for that. And so I, at QuiltCon actually like reconnected with a friend and we kind of discussed the idea because she was like, oh, I'm getting into like fabric design. And I was like, oh, really?
You're like, hmm.
Or would you consider designing something for me? You know? And, and she was like, sure, totally. And it's not anything complicated that I want. And so we've been collaborating on that. And so it'll have her name on it, but it will be an exclusive fabric to my shop. I'll have the design rights.
That's awesome.
So.
And we'll exciting. Pays to know people, right?
I mean, tell you, like, QuiltCon is like the best for just like meeting people and like making connections that you just would never be able to do online.
Yeah.
In the same way. So it always is like, yeah, it's just so valuable for a lot of reasons.
That's exciting and so cool. And like, yeah, I was just curious because like Bonnie Camille is doing her her design course right now. And I know a lot of people are getting ready to take that. And it seems really interesting and really exciting. Like just to have that, like that skill under your belt. But yeah, it's like it takes time and you have to sit and practice and you have to have all the good software. And I'm like, I don't. I don't know.
I know that just feels like not what I need to spend my time on right now. I love it. I wish I could do, I love graphic design. I'm not good at it. Like I always hire it out to people. Because even if I could figure it out, it just would take me forever to figure it out. What they can do in an hour takes me like 2 days.
Right.
So I have learned like, this is not where I need to spend my time. And, I've found a couple good people who like, will can do things for me. And so maybe someday, but right now it's just not where I have time to like put energy in my business. So
yeah,
I've just learned to pay for it. Just, you know, worth it.
Yeah.
So as a business owner, but
yeah.
Now, what about, do you guys design all of your merch and stuff?
I design my own. Yeah.
It's so fun.
Thanks. Yeah. I love it.
I don't know why, but I just want it.
Yeah. It's like such a fun, I mean, like only one other person, no, a couple, two other people besides myself and my mom have actually ordered any. So I don't know why just I keep making it, but
I know, but it's so fun. I know. I think like who else would want like a Bessie Pearl branded thing, but I think if you can come up with some kind of like cute slogan or
yeah,
like, you know, so people would wear it. Like I think about, like I bought a t-shirt at QuiltCon from Lovering Quilt Co. And she had a bunch of stuff she had designed. Right. And none of it, does it say her name on it?
Yeah.
Maybe it does.
I got one of her spirit jerseys and it has her logo on the front. And then it just, it's the purple one that says Quilter across
Quilter
the back.
On the back. But if it had only had her logo, you wouldn't have bought it.
Right.
Right. We buy it because it has the like Quilter identification on it, or it has, mine says like quilts make me happy. It's some kind of like cute pink t-shirt because the Quilter one was sold out. I couldn't get it. So I had to get something else, which was fine. But so it gives her like brand, you know, recognition, but we're buying it because we like the other stuff that's on it.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
How you I've tap branched into that, but
I'm branching into trying to find other things. Like I had, that's what this mug is I'm drinking out of. It's the, it just says good enough. Cause that's like, I always say this, like, it's good enough. Like, it's how I fight my perfectionism. But like in my episode with Anne Scahill, Crafty Moose, she and I were talking about, she always says like things are sufficient. And I was like talking about how things are good enough. And, you know, we were talking about like our autoimmune stuff that we both have going on and how some days, like you just have to say good enough, no matter what that looks like. Cause one day good enough means you got so much stuff done. And then the next day your body could be betraying you. And good enough is just you getting out of bed to brush your teeth. Like, so like it can mean so many different things. And so I've got that mug and I made a t-shirt with it. And like, instead of having the bright pink logo on it, it just says Not Your Granny's Quilt Show in smaller font underneath the good enough. And so, and then I just also released a new shirt that just says like, it says cut, sew, repeat. And it's one of those like oversized boxy tees, which I'm hoping.
Oh, cute.
Those are so comfy. Yeah. I ordered a sample. So I'm hoping that like, if I really love it, then I will definitely push it more, but and it doesn't have the logo on it anywhere. So,
okay.
I'm kind of trying to find, ways to design stuff that's not just like so logo heavy. Cause I was like, oh, I love my logo and I want people to want that. But also, it's like, who wants a giant bright pink circle on everything?
Right. We're not Nike, so we can't quite pull it off. I know. I agree. I'm a big fan of mine too. And I have like one big logo shirt that I wear like at the shows.
Yeah.
But nobody else wants that besides me and like my mother, like you said, you know?
Yeah.
She'll wear one. But trying to incorporate, people do love to wear their hobbies though. And like, and things like cut, sew, repeat, like stuff that we say. And so it's, it's one of those things that I always think would be fun to figure out, but I haven't never had the bandwidth to do it. But, but I love that you're trying it. Why not? You know? And like you said, if it doesn't work, then you, you know, just try something else.
Yeah. And the service I use is a print on demand. So if I design something and it's like not doing well, or I need to change the design all of a sudden, I'm not like scrambling that I have all this inventory, because that to me just feels so wasteful.
Yeah.
And this way, it lets people order what they want in the size they want from the manufacturer themselves. And I don't have to deal with that part.
I know, the whole print on demand thing is genius.
Yeah.
I love it. And that's exactly how I would do it if I was selling. And I think a lot of people do, because we can't hold that kind of inventory.
No.
And they can turn it around just as quickly.
Yeah.
And so like, why would you print it all if you don't know what's going to sell, unless you like physically are going to a show, but most of us aren't doing that.
Right. Exactly. And you know, there's options to order in bulk and like order, like I can order my samples at cost so that I can try them at cost. And so everything I have, I've ordered as a sample to try it out.
Yeah. Online. Yeah, and then you can photograph it and share it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just an interesting, like, you know, I just play around in Canva a lot, really. And like for social media things as well, like there's so much fun stuff in there that you can use. And it just makes kind of making cute things a little easier, whether it's for, you know, just your social media, or whether you're designing merch or stickers or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's really
fun.
Thank
goodness for Canva. What did we do before Canva? I don't even know. It's bad.
PowerPoint.
It was so bad, whatever we were doing.
I know.
I love Canva.
I know. It's so great. It's so funny. Like, because as a teacher, I was always like making slideshows, or like, especially when we went virtual, like everything had to be online and we had to have these Google classrooms all of a sudden. And like, it was just this like massive explosion of like really needing to know how to interact online with your students. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I don't know. Anyway, I was getting my master's in educational technology at that time. Like I was almost finished when we were locking down everything. So I was like, oh my gosh, I know how to do this. Like,
oh, that's so great. Cause I know so many teachers were like, what is this? You know, trying to figure it out and it communicate that to parents. And like, I'm so thankful we didn't have to do the whole virtual thing. But I know that was a lot for most people.
Yeah. Canva and the Google Suite came in clutch. Like,
nice.
They saved my life. But yeah, I don't even know. I'm like, how? And I think about all the things I used to design. Like, I would go into like Google Slides or go into PowerPoint because you can manipulate things in there without the confines of like the page.
Yes.
Of like, if you try to pull documents and or images into Word, it like tries to fit it within the text. And yes. It's just like
awful,
such a nightmare. So I would always design things in Slides or in Word, and then Canva. I got more familiar with Canva and I was like, oh, I don't have to get in there anymore. I can just use Canva.
Oh, this is so fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a learning curve for sure. And I definitely want to like branch out and I want to learn Procreate. Like I know that mm-hmm. that's like a big thing that people, they like start in Canva, put something in Procreate, bring it back out into Canva to add some more little zhuzh. And then that's how they get their really cute stickers and cute t-shirt designs. And I'm like,
okay, I've got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. You know, I think there's a learning curve to it, but it's like, where's the I need to find a balance for me because I'm like, I just want to create this. And I think this is a cute shirt and I want everybody to buy it. And it's like, well, but is anybody going to buy it? Like, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to know, like, when you're creating things mm-hmm. for other people, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's back to that, like, customer mindset, too. Like, if I'm creating all this merch and nobody's buying it, like, why do I keep doing it? It's like, okay, which one's going to hit, you know? Or mm-hmm. even in the sense of, like, owning a quilting business, it doesn't mean that just because I make a quilt out of scraps or, like, out of not even scraps, just like I had fabric and I wanted to make a quilt and I put it up for sale. It doesn't mean somebody's going to buy it. Like right. They want the quilt they want. They don't want the quilt I wanted or mm-hmm. that I wanted to make. So that's been also interesting to like, you know, navigate that. Like, cause we have some ready made quilts and they've sold here and there, but like not to the level that we were thinking like, oh
yeah,
this is so
it's so
cute.
Hard because like you said, quilting is so personal and design mm-hmm. is personal. And so, and then when you start making things for other people, it just changes the way you approach it. Mm-hmm. It can take a lot of the joy out of it. I don't know if you have found that, but like I do quilt still some for myself. I mean, I get like one done a year because I just hardly have time for my own sewing, but I mean, nothing will kill your love for a hobby than making it a business.
Yeah.
And so it's always as people who run a business that's a creative, you have to find ways to create that still brings you joy. Cause when mm-hmm. you're constantly creating for other people because it's a business, then all of those things like you're saying, what do they want? What do they like? Is it gonna sell? Like that can just really detract from what you love.
Yeah.
And so so now people when they ask me, like, oh, can you make me da 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 da? I just say no. Not like personal friends. I mean, if customers ask me, it's different. Yeah. But like I had someone who wanted me to make them a Dean jacket like I made for QuiltCon that had like a design. And I said, I will help you. I will give you all of my tips, but like I'm not because I don't have time. And so whatever time I have, I need to be able to like create for myself and enjoy it. Like I can't take on more creating for other people at this point in my life. So I was like, or I'll just give you mine. I don't mean like whatever, but I can't make more for people. I can't make you quilts. I can't do those things right now in my life. So I learned that the hard way that it just, I don't enjoy it, I guess at this point.
Yeah. Well, those time boundaries are super important because as when you're running your own business, like you're the boss, like you're everything. And you said, you know, even when you hire things out, you still have all the other stuff you have to do. So it's like, those things help you, hiring it out helps you, but you're still the one who has to decide when and who to hire. And you're still the one who's running all the numbers. You're still the one who's, you know, the brains behind all of it. So it's like, those time boundaries really are important. And I think when you're running a business out of your home too, it can feel really hard to separate, I think.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
yeah. I mean, I was up this morning at 5:30, like packing orders because I can, because it's like upstairs in my house.
Sure.
And it was fine because this is so stupid. I usually work out in the morning, right? So I usually get up at 5:30. That's not abnormal, but I get up and I work out, and then my kids get up and we do this, the whole like school thing. And then I work, and that's fine. But today I knew I was going to be on this video call with you. And I was like, I don't want to get up and get all sweaty and ruin my hair. So I was like, I'm going to get up and work, and then I'll work out later today.
Oh, I like it.
Hair, and that's fine. No. All about the hair washing cycle. It's very important. Yeah. And I just washed it yesterday. So no way was I going to wash it today. Right. No. So anyway, but I got all my orders out. So they're in the mail and they're off for the day. And so I can go work out later today.
I love that. No, I'm the same. I have to like line everything up. I've got, my hair. I did wash my hair this morning because it really needed it, but but today was hair wash day. So that's
normal. There's certain things that apply with the hair wash day, and there's certain things you don't do on a hair wash day.
Yeah, exactly.
It's different. I know. My husband makes fun of me all the time. He's like, just wash it again. I'm like, you don't even understand what you're talking about. It's a whole process. I try and like at least look a little presentable when I get on there, or like, thank goodness for filters.
Yeah.
But some days it's just like, it is what it is.
Yeah. I'm like, this is my face. What am I going to do about it? Like,
I've never tried to be like super professional online. So like when I hired this person to do my social media, we were talking about like, you know, what do you want it to look like? How do you want it to feel? And I said, look, like I am not trying to come across now as like some have it all together, like super professional businesswoman. That's just not me. And I think my customers know that. And like, so we don't need to do that, but like, you know, we can do some other things, but I said, I'm still just going to be me and it'll be fine.
Yeah. And I think the authenticity is important because if all of a sudden all your things changed and it was like a different vibe, then like, what would that do to your customer base? Like, how would they feel about that? And I think when you've already built up, you know, a clientele and people who connect with you and feel like they can trust your business, it's like when you change things all of a sudden, like really drastically, it's like, unless it's like really helping clearly communicate better, like as if that was an issue, then like, it's like, don't change the vibes now. It's working.
No, and
so
I feel like this is good. And I have a whole thing. I mean, like there's just so much on social media that is not authentic that I don't ever want to feel like I'm contributing to that.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah. And so I'm happy to show like my quilts that have mistakes or my messy rooms or whatever it is, you know? And so, I'm always kind of conscious of that. I feel like I intentionally push back against some of that perfectionism for that reason, because I just don't want to contribute to that culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm with you. I'm like, you get what you get. Like, I don't know. I'm not curated. I'm not fancy. My home is a disaster. Like, that's not fair. I shouldn't say disaster, but I'm not like, I'm not trying to like come across as if I have all my shit together, because I don't. Like, my house gets messy. My sewing space gets messy. Even in the studio, you know, with my mom, like we've got piles of fabric everywhere. So, you know, we're squirreling. Like, we'll start looking at our own fabric that we already own, that we know we have, and start pulling out and be like, oh my gosh, look at this. And wouldn't it be so cute with it? And we'll just like start imagining these new quilt projects all of a sudden. And then we're like, oh my God, we need to work. And we'll like put it all away and like, and then get back to our job. But it's just like, which is fun. And to speak to like the hobby killing, like that business can be like, I think there is like the time boundaries is where that plays. And like you saying no to people, if they're like, can you make this for me? You're like, I probably could, but I'm not going to. Like, and I think that distinction, especially for my own self, like saying can or can't is a difference of like, do I have the skills or not have the skills? But when it comes to my time, being clear with myself, especially saying, but I'm not going to, or I don't want to. And so, and trying to communicate that kindly as well is like having to tell people like, I'm not going to do your project for you because you're not able to afford how much that would cost you. And that's a hard conversation to have because people don't want to hear that. Like, if initially I'm like, I think I can do that, and then I come back with more information, and then knowing that I'm not going to be able to for a reasonable amount of money or time. Like, it is a hard conversation to have, but it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think being clear, like, I always refer back to Brené Brown, but, and I'm right there again, but she always says being clear is being kind.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That transparency and that honesty when it comes to your own time restrictions and, and letting people know, like, you want this thing, but it's not possible from me.
Right. Like, there may be someone else who can.
Right.
Right. Like, but it may not be you.
Or learn to do it yourself. Like,
or I will help you. You know, I tell people, like, if you want to come over, I will, like, certainly share what I can and help you get it done.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of those things that as a business owner, you kind of mature into. Because when you start, you will just take anything, you know, like, you just say yes to everything. And I think that's fine. And you're still trying to find your way. And then you typically get overcommitted and you end up, like, overwhelming yourself regularly for years, like I did, and staying up all night to finish things and just kind of totally burning out. And then you learn, like, okay, I have to put these, you know, parameters around. And I think too, I mean, we both have children. You get to a point where in your life where saying yes to somebody, to one thing, means saying no to something else.
Exactly.
And so then you just have to, so I've learned that, you know, like, me saying yes to doing this for you means I'm probably saying no to spending time with my kids because they're going to be the ones who suffer, or going out on date night with my husband. And I did that for years, and I constantly traded on them. And so, but I have learned, like, that's not okay. And my family has to come first. But for a long time, my business was more important. And so the last couple of years, I've shifted away from that. And it's looked like hiring people to help me with different projects. It's looked like trying not to work on the weekends, even though I could. It's just like right upstairs.
Right.
But it's looked like saying no to all some of those other little requests that people ask, and really trying to, like, prioritize my time. And it, I don't know about you, but I always feel like it still looks like juggling a lot of things all the time. And people are like, well, how do you balance it? I'm like, I don't think you really do. Like, you just decide which ball you're going to drop that week.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, this week I got a ton of stuff done in the shop, but my bathrooms haven't been cleaned in my house.
Yeah.
I have a bathroom that's just been, like, staring me down for days, you know? So you just, you don't, it's the truth. You just don't do it all. And so you just, and maybe next week my house will be really clean and I just won't do as much work on my business.
Right.
It just is like, you figure it out. And so all of those things, though, I think just take maturity and time as a business owner to learn, and to learn, like, yourself. And if you can't, though, I feel like eventually you'll really suffer, or your business will really suffer.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause something has to give in the end.
Yeah. The belief that we can have it all and do it all just isn't true at all.
And it's like a capitalistic patriarchal perspective. Like, well, why can't you just do X, Y? It's like, excuse me, you're not the one raising the kids and doing all the cleaning chores and doing a business. And it's like that foot in traditionalism. And I keep saying this, but I'm going to keep saying it because it's the reality of it. Like, you've, especially of women who are, like, late 30s to, like, mid 40s. It's like, we've got one foot in traditionalism and one foot in modernism. And so we've got, you know, fight the patriarchy while also being housewives and, like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with either one. It's just like, how do you balance both of those things? And with also the mindset that, like, a lot of, unfortunately, men are still nurtured with, that it's the woman's job to do those things. Mm-hmm. And they're not held accountable for care tasks of the home. And so when you have that partnership, it feels unequal. So then holding women to the same standard as men isn't ever equal ever, because there's no same standard. It's like, so I think, and then we, as women, internalize these ideas and start to should ourselves to death. Like, well, I should be doing this and I should be doing that. And I should be doing this, when it's like, pump the brakes, sister. Like,
it's okay. Take a break.
And I know there's exceptions, and I know that there's great partnerships out there. And so I'm not blanket statementing everyone, because I know that it's not everyone. It just seems to be a kind of a sticky point in society. And there's a lot of discomfort right now because it's being challenged, it's being pushed, it's being questioned, and which I think is important. It's the only way mm-hmm. to move forward is to get uncomfortable and figure out how to rearrange your life map to make new information fit. But yeah, it's just been such an interesting, you're right, like maturing into being a business owner. Like, how do you have a life and have a business at the same time?
Right. In a way that's sustainable and like healthy mm-hmm. is really hard. And I'm super lucky. Like my husband is very helpful and, you know, like he works full time, but he helps out around the house. I mean, he's the cleaner, honestly. Like I do clean things, but he literally likes to clean. And so like my house is really clean because that matters to him a lot. And I'm always like super appreciative of it. And he helps out with the kids when he can. And so I know that he takes a lot off my plate that for some people wouldn't be an option. And so I don't know how I would do that. And I have parents who like pick up my kids from school and, you know, had like cared for them before they were in kindergarten. My dad used to like keep my kids for me some mornings so I could work. And I don't know. It's so hard otherwise.
Yeah.
So. It's a very hard balance and to figure out like, how do you do those, some of those things well as a woman? I don't always know. And I don't always get it right. You know, we just kind of have to do our best.
Yeah. It's trial and error and
saying,
oops, like that didn't work and I'm sorry. And I'll do better next time. Or, hey, I really needed help with this and I'm sorry I didn't ask, but next time that this situation occurs, I'm going to ask for help. And I really need you to step up to the plate. It's like,
I really need you to help me roll binding tonight. Yeah. It's like, really? I'm like, yes, I really do. Like I rarely ask cause he doesn't enjoy it, but there are times when I need his help. Yeah. And so he's willing to help me occasionally. That's so
nice. Yeah. It's like, I don't know how people who don't have a village do it. Like who don't have support, whether it doesn't have to be family either. Like if they just don't have people near them who can help them.
Yeah.
And I think that concept of like that rugged individualism really shoots us in the foot as a society, because like, you can't do it all by yourself. You just can't.
And we weren't made to. I mean, that's one of the things I've learned over the last like 2 years. I feel like everything in my life that I value, my business, my family, is better in community.
Yep.
So like I'm a runner and I, for most of my life, have always run by myself because I'm a control freak and I run early in the morning and most people like aren't up for getting up early in the morning. And, but I had a friend who was like, do you want to work out with me? And I was kind of like, this feels icky. I don't know. You know, like just the fear of it. But we did. And I was like, this is so much more fun to work out with somebody else. And so then I started running with other people and there were like strangers that I found on Facebook and we all started running together, but it was so great. I was like, why have I waited my whole life to do this?
Yeah.
You know, and I found over and over, like being a parent, being a mom in community is better than trying to be a mom by yourself. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything. And even I think that's why QuiltCon, circling back to that, that's why people love it, because we typically don't have a great community. We're isolated. We're like connecting online, but it's not the same as in person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think being able to all be together, it's just so life-giving for so many of us because we don't get it all the time.
Yeah.
And we forget like how great it is. And then we're there for a weekend. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
We go home like drunk on good feelings about people, you know, and then we do it again next year and it's great.
Yeah.
But I think anytime you can foster community, it's good for everybody. It's good for us as business owners, as parents, you know, all those kinds of things. So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think like, you know, when I was talking to, you know, separately in interviews, but talking to Erin Bush and Caprera, she's at Seam Ripper Society. That's her Instagram. And then Emily Herbster, she's Peach and Honey Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of them have anybody near them that quilts. They don't have friends in, you know, in their town or near them that also quilt. And so they just felt really isolated, but they wanted to create an online community. So they formed a Facebook group and they had named it Seam Ripper Society just to start with. But, and they brought me and the Katie of So Spicious, and then, Alicia, she's, quilt blocked on Instagram, but okay. We're all admins now. And we just changed it to be called the Quarter Inch Collective.
Okay. I saw that you guys just changed the name and I loved that. And I was like, yeah. I'm so intrigued by this group.
Yeah. So they formed it because they're like, we just want a place where we know your questions are going to get answered, mm-hmm. and just support that. Like we don't have where we're at, but we want to be that for other people.
That's so cool.
And so I jumped in because I'm like, yeah, community is obviously the most important thing. And like why I started this podcast, like my three best friends, they also are quilters, but they don't quilt to the volume that I do. Okay. And they love it. They love fabric and they love quilting, but it's like, I'm just in a different like genre of quilting than they are. Mm-hmm. They're still doing it as a hobby and for fun. And I'm like all quilting all the
time.
You
are in it.
Nothing but quilting is in my brain. I'm like, I'm sorry guys, but this is just my life. They're like, no, it's great. But just to like continue, I guess, like my reach where I can and like fostering community and ants. Like, I think that was one of the biggest things is like I'm part of these other groups, but my questions never get answered or I get someone else's two cents on something, but it doesn't actually help or whatever. And so we've really, really pushed to be those people that will answer your questions. And if it doesn't come from one of us admins, it's definitely going to come from one of the members because we're all in there for the same purpose. And like,
right.
We've been able to keep it locked and yucky people free for this the whole time. So we're like really working to keep the community safe and like purposeful and in that way. Cause it's like, if you don't have people around you, where do you turn? The internet, mm-hmm. but like, how do you find a home that feels comfortable and safe, but also pushes you into your discomfort zones to try new things in a loving way. And
yeah, so,
anyway,
I love that. So you guys have a Facebook group, mm-hmm. but then I was reading about it online the other day. There's more to it though, right? Don't you have like teaching or?
Yes. Yeah. So monthly.
Just like conversation.
It's more of like, it's like a presentation, I guess, more than like, there is some teaching aspect to it. And that was like how I initially kind of participated was they had me on as one of the monthly speakers to talk about long arming, how to prepare your quilts for a long armer. Cause I'm a long armer and just what that means, like different battings and different backings and why we ask for extra fabric, you know, all the things. So anyway, so we're really out there trying to just like give information to people, talk to community or, you know, industry experts that can speak to these certain things like, you know, whips and free motion quilting could go hand in hand because maybe all mm-hmm. you need to do is quilt your stinking quilt top.
Right. That's great. You're just giving people access to all that information where they may not be able to find it or it might not all be in one place.
Yeah.
So being able to go, like you're saying, to some place where they trust the information they're getting is mm-hmm. like reliable and helpful and that there'll be people there to support them if they need it. Like, that's amazing. That's awesome. I'll have to check it out. Cause like I said, I guess somehow when you guys changed the name, it started mm-hmm. popping up on my Instagram feed since I follow some of you guys. And I was like, oh, this sounds like an interesting idea. It's curious.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good. Thanks. Sounds like y'all are doing good things.
We're trying.
That's great. That's so cool.
Yeah. So do you have any like new ideas or new projects in the works for your business or are you just still going to kind of
keep it on?
It's just working. And so you're just going to keep on keeping on
just making binding all day. Well, so we have possibly have the new fabrics coming out. That will probably be this summer. And then I'm headed to American Quilt Week in QS.
Yeah.
The big quilt week in Kentucky.
In Paducah.
Yeah. Exciting. So I'm going to that show. This is the first time I've ever been. So I'll be a vendor there that's the end of April.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that. Perfect. And so that's what I'm kind of like gearing myself up to get ready for right now. I'm still somewhat recovering from QuiltCon. It's still all like all of the vendor stuff is sitting in my garage still.
Oh my gosh. Well, you'll just pack it back up for Paducah.
I know. That's why I was like, we got new carpet up here. Like I haven't been in a big hurry to clean it up, but I need to, because I need to park my car in the garage, but, doing that. And then just trying to get like this hiring some people. So some behind the scenes stuff is what's going on a lot right now. Okay. I have some collaborations coming up, this spring. And so just trying to get all of that stuff moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about enough for me. My kids are out of school the entire month, just about of April. So, I end up kind of slowing down in life anyway when they're out of school. So, we do like trips and stuff, or sometimes they just have to sit around while I work. It's just kind of as, I do as best I can. I work a lot more at night when they're sleeping than I do, it kind of switches back and forth, and then I'm always ready for them to go back to school. So, but yeah, that's about what's coming up for us around
That's
here. So
okay.
that's
Well, that's
enough for me.
exciting. Well, and I think that's it. It's like you found what works, and just improving on what's already working, I think is just as important as like having all new shiny stuff going on all the
Yeah.
time. So.
That's just not me. And I feel like I just don't have the capacity for it right now in my life,
Yeah, for sure.
maybe my kids are older and don't need me so much, but this is good.
Yeah.
This feels like a good fit. My husband was like the other day, he's like the numbers guy.
Yeah.
He works like has like an accounting degree, and thank goodness he like, God bless him, he does my taxes. And he was like, so what's like the 5-year plan? And I was like, yeah, I don't really have one of those.
It's
Like, I have
like,
like a 1-year plan. Like, here's what we're doing this year, and then we'll see what next year holds. Like, that's about as much as I can do. 'Cause like you said, like, we're moms, we're business owners, we do a lot of things. And so I just, at this point in my life, that's enough to just be able to think like that far out. And if this is still working and I'm, it makes sense for my family and I feel like I can still do it well for my customers, great. Then I'm happy. So.
I think that's all anybody can hope for in their
Yeah,
own
and that's
business.
enough for me. I don't need this to be a Fortune 500 company. I don't want to be that person. So,
And I
no.
think too, if we're gonna break down that stigma or that idea that you have to like that you have to be a Fortune 500 company to be
Yeah.
worthy, like it's like, no, we're coming, you got to come at your business from a place of worthiness already. Like I'm already worthy of having this business, and
Yeah.
however I make it work for me is good and great. And
Yes. And sometimes that means it's growing, and sometimes that means it's just staying still. And I've that's one of those things I feel like I'm constantly trying to intentionally kind of push back, is this idea that like our business always has to be growing in order to be valuable. Like in our culture, like your value is based on what you produce. And so it shouldn't be that way. But so I'm constantly kind of examining my plans and motives to go like, okay, does this really what I want, or do I just feel like I should be doing this, right? Like, am I just shooting myself? Like, okay, I should go to QuiltCon next year. Well, I'd love to, but it's in Phoenix, and it just may not make sense for me to drive myself to Phoenix next year, So things like that. It's just like we have to stop and think, because I think the world just tells us like, if you're running a business, then like it better be producing well all the time in order to be good. But this isn't always the case. So,
And it looks different from all angles. Like you said, a lot of what's going on for you is behind the scenes. And so
yeah.
customer facing, they might not see that, but you're still offering the same great thing that you've been offering that they can still access. You've just got other things going on behind the scenes. And it's like
Yeah.
you're not always going to see what a business is doing to
Right.
sustain themselves or even to grow. Like, you don't know
Yeah.
what I'm doing back here. You know, it's like,
Right.
which
And
is
you don't want to
fine.
know sometimes. You don't need to know all this.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, but yeah, you're right. It's like sometimes it looks like a big season of growth, and then it's a season of just kind of like letting it coast and taking a breath and letting it be what it is for a minute until the
Yeah.
next thing comes up that's like, okay, this actually needs to be addressed.
Right.
But
Right. And then it's like, okay, now I got to get my act in gear and kind of ramp up again. But yeah, the spring is always busy for me, like, for whatever reason. I don't know if you guys find that too. I just feel like maybe more people are crafting in the spring. I don't know, but orders are always busier in the spring, and then it kind of quiets down in the summer, and then it'll ramp up again in the fall. So that's kind of how we go.
It is. It's kind of a weird little cycle, but yeah, we're busy in the spring, and it's a lot of like, I need this quilt for graduation, or
Yes, Mother's Day or babies or yeah, I'm
birthdays
sure
or
there is seasonal to that. And then, I mean, I feel like working in retail though, it was seasonal. And so that makes sense to me, because I still feel like I'm in the retail world. People just have like specific buying habits, I think, whether they're aware of it or not. But yeah,
Yeah, for sure. But
you do.
well, that's good. I'm excited to see the fabric that you design, and
We'll see.
I
Stay tuned.
yeah that will be so fun,
Yeah, it'll
and
be fun if it works out. I think it's just something different, you know?
Yeah, so for
I'm
sure.
Hopeful that it works well for all of us, myself and the designer. So
yeah, for sure. Well, I can't wait to see it. And
thanks.
I'm definitely, we got some binding while we were at QuiltCon, but I'm like, we're like, I think we need to just like be wholesalers because
just buy the big spool, make it easy.
We just go through so much binding. It's like, it would be so nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, well, that's exciting. And thank you so much for being on the show. And
of course, this is so exciting for me.
Letting me talk you into it at QuiltCon. It's like hard to say no to me in person, right? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I feel like I'm the one who was like, oh, let me be on your podcast. I really want to do this.
No, it's great. Like, it's like
one of those things that for me, I've been like, I want to be on a podcast. This would be fun.
Oh, good. Well, here you go. So. You can check it off.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it was like, again, it was so fun meeting you in person and then getting to do this, because normally it's been the other way around. It's like I've met people this way and then I met them in person at QuiltCon, and then it was just like, oh my gosh, you're real.
That's okay. Totally. But, yeah, I agree. No, I'm so glad we got to meet and connect. This has been really fun. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again.
You're welcome.
Are you a patron yet? If not, you can head to patreon.com/notyourgrannysquiltshow to join our Patreon community today. When you join, you also get access to the exclusive phone wallpaper designs I release monthly. So that's fun. You can change your lock screen to be all cutesy. If you're a paid patron, when you sign up, you'll receive a Not Your Granny's Quilt Show logo sticker sent right to your door. And other than that, you will have early access to the week's episode. So you don't have to wait until Monday to get the new episode. So head on over to patreon.com/notyourgrannysquiltshow and sign up. Also, I would love it so much if you headed to the merch shop and just checked out what I've got there. I love designing fun t-shirts and stickers, so I am just having a great time creating fun things for us to wear as quilters on our bodies. So go check it out. It's nygqs.printify.me. The link is below, and check it out today.